This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. We're back, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 16th, episode 1762, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo!
Wednesday.
Hit it!
That's right, it's hump day with your Horses in the Morning hosts, Jamie, that girl Jennings, and Glenn, the geeky pony guy.
Wednesday, I can't sleep.
Well, it is Wednesday. I'm glad you're back from Ada. I'm sure you had fun. I'm sure Jennifer spent some money, and because it is, it's Ada. Like it. For what?
Because it is.
For those who don't know, ADA is, it stands for American Equestrian Trade Association. And this is where all the people that like Ariat and Horse Lovers and all Ovation, they all descend upon this trade show and they set up booths and people that own tack shops walk around and buy their products. So that's what ADA actually is. So that's why it is so exciting for a horse chick to just be able to go to. And you can't just go, like you have to be an actually tack shop owner, but it's like, get your business license, just go shop. Sounds fun.
It was fun. We did have a good time over the weekend.
Well, good. I'm glad you're back. Today is a national holiday, Glenn. I get my news from a reliable source, and my reliable source says that it is national. Well, I'll tell you where I get my news. I get my news from Eventing Nation, okay? So they said it's National Tell a Joke Day. So I would like to start the show with a joke. And it's a horse joke. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. You've probably heard me tell this one before. It's my favorite horse joke of all time. So Bruce Davidson and Jimmy Wofford are old men. And they're sitting on the porch of their old folks' home, and they're in rocking chairs. And Jimmy Wofford turns to Bruce Davidson and says, "Bruce, do you think there's eventing in heaven?" And Bruce Davidson turns to Jimmy Wofford and says, "Jimmy, I certainly hope so." Well, that night, Jimmy Wofford passes away. Bruce Davidson the next day is sitting on the rocking chair, rocking back and forth all by himself, missing his friend. And then appears to him, Bruce, sitting on the rocking chair, sees in front of him Jimmy Wofford, an apparition, a ghost, if you will. And he says, Jimmy, you're here. And Bruce, I am here. I'm visiting you from beyond. And Bruce says, "Well, you got to tell me, Jimmy. You got to tell me." And Jimmy goes, "Bruce, let me stop you. I've got good news and I've got bad news." Bruce goes, "Jimmy, give me the good news. Give me the good news, Jimmy Wofford." "Well, Bruce Davidson, the good news is, my friend, there is a venting in heaven. There is a venting in heaven." Bruce says, "Jimmy, that's awesome. What's the bad news?" And Jimmy Wofford turns to Bruce Davidson. "Your ride time for dressage is 8:52 in the morning."
I had heard that one before, but I forgot the punchline.
And now, Jennifer, please tell us what's coming up on today's show.
Coming up on today's horselovers.com Wednesday edition, we've got an on-the-road update from Auditor Ellen's daughter, Veronica, who was touring around New England with the Herman Royal Lipizzans. And then mid-show, we're going to check in on Leslie Wiley and the other Mongol Derby competitors. And then in the third half of the show, Jamie will read chapter 3 of the nail-biting mystery, The Opium Equation, from Lisa Wysocki. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Hey, Jamie, what do racehorses eat?
Hey!
Fast
food. Did I get it right? I don't know. I was just guessing. Look at you. Got bringing a joke.
Glenn just Googled dumb horse jokes, didn't he? Yeah.
Oh, you guys wait. I have a whole page of them. Why did the horse cross the road?
Oh, you're a terrible joke teller. Send the list to me. Why did the horse cross the road?
Yes.
I don't know, Glenn. Why?
Because somebody shouted, hey. Which went along with your last one. All right, Daily Winnie, Devin Horn, and Evo Marlowe. I got to say thank you to both of them for helping provide the nightly coverage for the Mongol Derby every night on Facebook Live. It was a lot of fun to do. We did our last one last night, and we'll have a complete Mongol Derby update later on. But those two were troopers to come in and do that every night. Devin is now riding endurance horses in Japan, and she posted some pictures yesterday. It looks absolutely beautiful. So
tough job.
Yeah, she has a great job. So I wanted to thank both of them. They were really good to put in the time, and they were both very good at the coverage too. So that was
I really am going to miss it because you always did those while I was cooking dinner. So I might not have typed a lot, but I watched all of them.
It was past my bedtime though.
Yes, I know, it was awesome.
You were just cooking dinner. I was getting sleepy. So, yeah. And we hope you enjoyed those. I mean, thousands of people watched them. So that was kind of cool.
I just like that. I tried to be on it with you.
We tried. I don't know. Your connection wasn't good that night. You didn't have a good connection then. I don't know what's going on.
But I think it was you.
We managed to get through it, and it was a lot of fun. So we hope you all enjoyed that. Your turn.
Well, I got this package in the mail and just an envelope, padded envelope type thing. So, you know, it's like, I love it when packages come in the mail that you don't expect because they're always fun. And I opened it up and it is a t-shirt and it's a purple t-shirt and it looks like it's like from a high school, you know, like a high school emblem. And the shirt says, "Love those Mustangs." And Kimberly Smiley sent it to me in the mail, and she saw it and thought of me. She sent me this nice note. "Hi, Jamie. I saw this and thought of you. It's big, so maybe you could use it as a nightshirt. Love, Kimberly Smiley, Sequoia's mom. So I love the shirt. Thank you so much for thinking about me. It's so nice, and it's like extra large, and it's very comfy.
Oh,
so
good for you. That's fun.
Thank you, Kim.
We have the best listeners.
I know. What I want to know is how'd you get my address? Whatever.
I don't give it to her. It wasn't me. What do you call a scary female horse?
A nightmare.
Yay, you got one. All right. Equestrians have talent. Apparently, ours is not telling jokes, but what the hell? You guys have more talent than we do. We know that. And we want you to send in your talents, your audio talents. You have 3 days left. We only have until the end of the day Friday to get them in. Jamie, you haven't gotten yours in yet either, by the way.
Well, see, there's a problem here, Glenn.
Yes.
Is that notoriously on this show, I don't want to shatter your expectations of me, okay? Because it's kind of well known on the show that some of you kind of jerky folk think that I'm not a great singer. And if I sing a song like for real, you guys would be totally blown away. And I don't want to shatter your image of me because I know you think it's hilarious, but I'm actually a beautiful singer. Uh-huh. Seriously, I'm amazing. So I don't want to ruin. Do you want me to ruin it?
Sometimes we worry for nothing. And Jamie, I think this is one of those times when you're really worrying for no reason at all. I don't think you really have to worry about that being shattered. I really don't.
I think you would be disappointed in yourself because you've been judging me for so long. And I really think that I could change that. And if you're okay with that being changed, I will try.
I am fine with that. And if it is in fact earth shattering, I will apologize.
I don't need earth shattering. I mean, I don't mean it to be like, I don't want to, you know, it's not oversell.
It's not American Idol quality. Maybe in the auditions?
I think I'm just more comfortable with my guitar, and I sing better when I have my guitar. It's like a shield.
Oh, we're going to have the guitar and singing. That's even
better. I'm not singing a cappella. Then you would just laugh at me, because I thought about doing The Little Mermaid, because there is nobody who can sing Little Mermaid better than, well, The Little Mermaid, but then me. There's The Little Mermaid, and then there's me. And I'll do a little bit right now if you want.
No, that's okay. That's up okay. Save it for up the guitar, because as you said, it's going to be better with the guitar, and we're really counting on that. Equestrians have talent. 3 days left. Get your talents in. We don't care what they are. Sing, dance. We can't dance. We can't see it, but it has to be audio, whatever it is. So far, I've gotten people riding a horse while reciting poetry at a gallop. We've gotten some really good singers that I think will show Jamie up. But one thing we don't have is groups. Get together with your barn group. You know, do a song in the barn. Do whatever. We don't care. Make it funny. Make it hilarious. Tell jokes. Jokes are good.
Your jokes aren't good.
No, my jokes aren't good, but that's why we're doing this, is because your jokes, the listener jokes, are going to be good. What street do horses live on, Jamie?
What street do horses live on? Hey, street.
Main Street.
Main Street. Oh, how did I miss that one?
That was easy, too. Yeah. All right, so get your talents in. You can find all the details at horseradionetwork.com/talent. Horseradionetwork.com/talent. We need more. We need about 10 more to make this work. Then we'll have about 30, and we can get two episodes of Stable Scoop out of it. And if I can convince Jamie, I haven't talked to her about this yet, so I'll embarrass her on the air.
I got to finish. Not love to explore that shore up above, out of the sea.
I really don't think we're going to have to worry about being shattered anything. The glass.
Of that world.
Expectations. All right, our guest is coming on, so stop singing. We don't want her to leave. So, Equestrians Have Talent, horseradionetwork.com/talent. Now you got me all screwed up. Horseradionetwork.com/talent is where you can send them to. We really do need about 10 more. So everybody get busy. I'm going to try and convince Jamie to join me on those Stable Scoop episodes. We'll record it as we play them so that we can have a little fun with that. So I haven't asked her yet, but I'll try and convince her.
I'll do anything for money.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I figured that wouldn't be a problem. All right, we do have our first guest ready.
Well, Veronica Attridge is a daughter of Ellen, who all of you, if you are an auditor, you, I'm sure, are familiar with Ellen's name or just a longtime listener. And Veronica is doing something that is very, very special this summer. Veronica, good morning.
Good morning.
You are 19 years old. You are a new high school graduate. And tell us what you're doing for the summer. We're jealous.
I'm traveling with the Herman Lipizzan Stallions. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, tell us, what is the Herman Lipizzan Stallions? Herman's Royal Lipizzan Stallions.
Yeah, they're a group that's based down in Mayaca, Florida. And they do a New England tour every year. And I got the opportunity this year to work with them, because I went to a clinic a couple months ago where the owner, at Hearts and Horses, that was where the clinic was, knew Gabriella Herman, who is the owner, and said they needed help this summer. And they called me a week later and said, we need you in New Jersey.
Okay. Is it a phone call of like, oh my God, we need you to sit on our horse while it's doing a Levad and a Capriole? Or is it I need you to clean stalls? Doesn't matter.
It was like, I need you, we needed me to clean stalls and do all the, like, the basic barn chores. And I do actually ride in the show, with several of the horses. I work with on the long lines with one of the horses, which is really awesome. It's a really incredible experience to work with these horses.
Oh my gosh, that is so great. That is not at all. I thought you were going to be like, yeah, clean stalls and I don't do anything with the horses. But this is amazing. Did you know how to long line ahead of time, or did they teach you?
I have driving experience. I own two minis at home. So I do lots of long lining with them.
Uh-huh.
And so But being out of the two girls that were working, me and another one, I had more experience with the long lining and the driving. And so I was just the better candidate to do that part in the show.
Wait a minute.
Did you turn to her and go?
Hold on, Veronica. You went from driving minis to driving Lipizzans?
Yep.
Well, that's a jump.
That's a... That's awesome. And then you're like looking at that other girl like, nah, 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 nah.
Yeah, a lot of my friends are really jealous.
That's awesome. So they're on tour and they just tour the country. I'm sorry, I'm not familiar being on the West Coast. I've never heard of them. So this is really cool. So where do they go?
We're doing a New England tour. We started in New Jersey and we're ending in Essex, Massachusetts. And our next stop is, we're currently in Roseland, Connecticut. And our next stop is Charleston, Maine at East Ridge Riding Stables. And then we go to New Hampshire and then to Massachusetts after that.
Wow. What do you think is, what's your favorite thing about working with the Lipizzans?
It's just the fact that they're such an incredible, it's a piece of history that I'm working with. And they're all really well trained and they're all really, like, you are working with stallions, but they're all really, really sweet horses and really nice. And the people that I'm working with are super helpful and I'm learning a whole lot from them. And it's definitely a step in my riding and equine career, and it's definitely going to help.
So what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a riding instructor. I have my CHA certification, and I'm also starting my own training business with my own two horses called Mini Meadow Training.
Oh, that's a great name. Okay, so... People, there are 19-year-olds who are organized and have their stuff together.
Yeah, that's
Look at
what
you.
I was just thinking.
Like 19 years old, I was like, well, I'm just going to try to get somebody to buy me beer. So this is fantastic. So you got your certification, your CHA, and tell everybody what that is, just in case they don't know.
The CHA certification is an organization that certifies instructors, because a lot of states don't require licensing or certification. So it's just something to say, yes, I can do this. I know my stuff. And it just helps for putting it on your website and business and stuff like that.
So is your whole horse world your mom's fault?
A little bit. Yeah.
She got you into this.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So is minis your passion? Do you want to train minis or do you ride?
I want to train small ponies, between like 13 and 14 hands. And since I've been riding the Lipizzans, they're my size. They're all the perfect size that I want to ride. And so it's really helping me develop that idea of what I want to do.
So I have this like 13 hand pony, Precious Magic Gallop Jennings. I'll be happy to send your way.
Happy to take her.
All right. Come on over. It looks like you're a little busy this summer touring with the Royal Lipizzan Stallions, but these guys are based in Florida. Lipizzans, right? .com. HLipizzans.com is their website. You can go check out where you can go see Veronica on tour. That's amazing, girl. Congratulations.
Veronica, what's
Thank
been the
you.
Thing that surprised you the most about the Lipizzans and about riding them?
The fact that you have to, you have to present yourself with them in a different manner. You have to really say, I am the boss. I am not going to let you get away with things. We have had a few instances of horses escaping because one of us has made a mistake. And you really have to think about what you're doing with your body language because they can read you so well that you really have to watch yourself.
Yeah, every little movement is going to be, they know, right? They're hearing every little thing you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I figured that would be the answer. And are the Lipizzans, so do you have a new respect for what it takes to train them and to keep them going now?
Yes, definitely. It's in order to keep them working and going for as long as they do, it takes so long to get them to that point that I have a whole new appreciation for the show and what they do.
What's it like to be on the road with a show like this?
It's tiring, but it's really fun. It's awesome. And being away from home, it's definitely given me a new sense of independence working with the horses and living in a trailer.
If you're on the road, do you have like roadies and groupies?
Not really. Like every once in a while, you get like fan clubs in the shows that like scream your name. It's kind of funny.
Really?
But it's kind of just, yeah. I had a couple of people in the last show that were like screaming my name during the show.
did your mom put them up to that? Was that your mom putting
them
up? That's funny. That's funny. So, and you spent just a lot of time driving?
Yeah, it's our trips are like 6 or 7 hours going from place to place. Our shortest one was 2 hours.
And are you sleeping in the living quarters?
Yep.
Yeah?
We have living quarters in each trailer.
And is this like 5 or 6 trailers? How many trailers are on this tour?
We have 3 horse trailers, and then we have a concession trailer and our boss's trailer. So it's
so
we
it's,
got 1, 2, 3.
A caravan.
Yeah, 5.
It is a caravan.
Yep.
Well, that's very cool. And this, you know, so what happens? Are you going to go to college? Are you going to go from this at the end of the summer right into your training program?
I'm taking a year off this year from school, and I'm going to get my Massachusetts license, and I'm also going to continue with my training with my own horses and trying to promote myself and get my name out there.
Well, good for you. I mean,
that's awesome.
You know,
live your dreams, girl.
Yeah,
live
I don't think that's going to be a problem at all after talking to you. Veronica, congratulations. Good job. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. And you have fun up there with the Lipizzans the rest of this year. And remember to enjoy every day and every minute of it.
I will.
All right. Yeah, you do. Hey, before you go, it's National Joke Day. So I have a I have a joke for you. Okay, you ready? What do you call a baby donkey?
A mini donkey?
A burrito. This is my best one yet. All right. Thanks, Veronica.
Says you.
All right. Bye.
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 I had to do it. All right.
I love that one. A burrito.
I thought that was pretty good, actually. All right. We're going to let's see here. What are we going to do?
Well, I've got news. I've got to tell you about John P. Evans.
Oh yeah, yeah. You do that. I got to get Jennifer back on here. So go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to tell you, and now you're not listening.
You're going to be like,
what'd you say?
What'd that guy say?
John T. Evans is not going to ride at next week's European Eventing Championships. This was kind of the whole, we need to get this done so we can compete kind of thing. But bless his heart, he had set the deadline of last Thursday to finish the campaign because he needed to travel to Poland for the event. And, you know, they made it by 10 a.m. Wednesday, but he said that he's not competing at the event due to complications related to, number one, the transfer of payment and ownership, and also the impact that the fundraiser has had on their preparations. So in a statement released by Horse Sport Ireland, it says, quote, Jonty says, quote, unfortunately, however much Art and I want to go and challenge in Poland, time will not allow. The physical issue of paying for him is complex and will not be completed in time. He also goes on to say that the preparation has been hampered due to the extreme efforts we had to go in securing Art. I felt concerned that I might be seen to be letting my teammates down, but I have to look at the bigger picture, Art's welfare and the impact of those around me. So even though I have a dog who's trying to climb under my computer. And he says that in everyone's interest, I feel like the best course of action is to take a little time and get used to things, to communicate with people and plan what we can do. So what a guy. Like, this has been the whole goal, but he's been so focused on it that he doesn't have, I mean, I can't imagine how difficult that was.
And, you know, these things, you know, to back up what he's saying there, these things do not happen overnight to transfer ownership. And that money, you know, he's got to get it all together into one place and all of that stuff. I mean, it's
Is that one of the crowdfunding things where the crowdfunding gets a percentage?
Yeah, they got to, well, I think, yes, he was using one of those. Plus,
no, I don't think he was, actually.
Oh, was
Glenn.
He? Okay.
No, I don't think he was.
Well, but,
I think that because I think he mentioned that they didn't do it that way
because
they wanted to maximize what went towards the horse.
Yeah, they did it on their own page. But, you know, he had some private donations, too, that I'm sure had to come in. And just gathering 500,000 euros together, into a bank account.
Let me tell you what that's like. Oh, wait, I don't know.
Yeah, me either.
Because I've never had that much.
Oh. So I can see why. And you know what? I realize it's the European Championships, but there's always another horse show, right? I mean, there's lots more horse shows to come.
Oh, yeah. It's what he's doing is very important.
It's never the last one, right? So good on him. All right, before we go to our health segment, I have to give everybody
Horse Nation.
This episode is Do Try This at Home.
Leslie, I'm...
Failure is always an option.
Any result's a result, that's for sure.
Or not. Well, we are giving you the Mongol Derby update like we have every night here. And this is our first time back, though, that we can do it here on Horses in the Morning. We had a winner yesterday. We had winners yesterday. This is where we stood as of the ones that have come in so far. And I know a couple have come in probably since I even did this morning. So coming across the line first was Barry Armitage of South Africa and Ed Fernan of Australia. Followed by a favorite that was out in the lead for a long time, and then...
This was my pick, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm a genius.
Yeah, and you would have been had his horse cooperated out of one of the last changeovers. His horse bucked him off, apparently spooked by a car, and the horse decided...
Randomly, a car comes driving across this Mongol
steppe. If you've seen any of the pictures, you wouldn't believe there was even a car out there.
It would have scared any horse, yeah.
I mean, and the Mongol Derby people say it wasn't one of their cars, so I don't know who was out there. But the horse came back without him. He had to go back. He broke his stirrup leather. He had to fashion one out of rope. And that is Jackie Mellett of South Africa. And
the potato farmer.
Yeah, everybody, the potato farmer. And I don't know if you went to his Facebook page and stalked him like I did, but he has a beautiful kids and family, and he just looked like a guy you wanted to win, you know?
Yeah.
But he came in third, and he was very happy. They were all happy yesterday. Fourth place was Will Kaminsky of Australia, who was last year one of a co-champion from last year, where three of them won. By the way, this is the second year in a row now that the leaders have come in holding hands and winning together, which kind of frustrated the Mongol Derby people a little bit from their post. I think they're thinking, wow, this is supposed to be a race. So, and then Warren Sutton of Australia also, those two kind of buddied up and rode like 500 kilometers together to come in fourth. And then the first women in were also a group riding in together. In sixth place was Brooke Wharton, who I could, by the way, not find anything on. She's not listed on any of their lists. I don't know. I don't know where she's from. Rebecca Hewitt.
She just jumped in the middle.
I don't know. She's from Mongolia and just hopped in. I don't know what. Burke must have been a late entry because she's not even listed on their list of competitors. Really? Rebecca Hewitt from Australia. Marie Palser, who led for a good way, from New Zealand. Jody Ward from Australia. And Greg Chant, who apparently had a harem to ride in with, from Australia. He was the one guy with four women. They all rode across together. So this means if you take a look at the top 10, the first 10 to come in, you have Australia with 6, South Africa with 2, and New Zealand with 1. So Australia,
way to go, guys.
The Down Under definitely did pretty well. I loved this post, though, that was posted yesterday, because now what's happening is the rest of them that are coming in are just having a good time. They have to finish before 10 days are up, and Leslie is at a point where she only has 3 more changeovers to go, so she'll probably finish tonight, or she will finish tonight if all goes well. But yesterday they posted... the Mongol Derby posted on Twitter. Meanwhile, in the rear field, Chloe reports Lucy Taylor from Australia and James Lester from Australia overtook the 3 American girls, Taylor Dulk, Amanda Herbert, and Leslie Wiley on the way to U22, whilst riding like cowboys and Indians, shooting pretend guns and bows and arrows. Jimbo also using his horse as a lasso to catch hostages. These guys are awesome. I love the Derby. The 3 girls plotted the counterattack for the next leg. So obviously, we're just having a good time now.
The pressure is off. I can't even imagine how intense it is. I mean, it's still very intense because you're still riding, but you can laugh a little bit more. And I'm so glad that this happened. Just give her a couple days of just relaxed ride, because poor Leslie. She's going to have some good stories.
I wanted everybody to know that we have the, not next Monday because she won't be home yet, but the week from Monday, we're devoting the whole episode to Leslie. We're hoping that she can join us the whole time. We'll give her 90 minutes to tell her stories, and we're definitely going to give her the time to do that, and I'm sure she'll have some stories to tell. So that's where we stand now. It looks like they're going to finish the group of three, Taylor, Amanda, and Leslie, all from the United States, are going to finish together. They're all riding together and having a good time. There's been a couple of pictures posted. We've been posting most of them. And of course, you can find all of the action over on the Mongol Derby. It's Mongol Derby Live on Twitter. I know a lot of people signed up for Twitter that didn't have it just so they could follow.
I still don't. I mean, I have Twitter because I wanted to tweet Blake Shelton during The Voice when I first started. So I got a Twitter account a long time ago. But I've never really used it until this Mongol Derby. And I still don't get it. I don't get it. Like, what? Who's tweeting what? And then it goes backwards. So then you need to scroll to the bottom and read back up and then to get everything in order. And it's just, I don't know. It's very confusing.
Well, I'll tell you what. I agree with you. And I have used Twitter, and I was trying to follow replies to tweets and all this stuff. I finally said, okay, this is the most I've used Twitter in years. But you know what? It's funny is we don't use Twitter a lot. We do a lot of posts on Twitter. We don't have a lot of interaction on Twitter yet. We have 20,000 followers, so maybe we should. I don't know. But yeah, so I'm very excited for them. I think it's a true adventure and just a lot of fun right now for everybody. Tommy wanted to meet a passive message. That's Leslie's husband, who's been kind enough to just join us every night, and the whole family has been joining us. And he just wanted to thank everybody again for all their love and for the support that Leslie's gotten from our audience and from their audiences over at Eventing and Horse Nation as well. So he's just truly grateful and shocked, actually. He's very surprised. I actually allowed him and Devin to come into the auditor room.
And oh, cool.
That's when they were really surprised. That's when they were like, oh my God, this is crazy. Because the auditors have been just a crazy fanatic following this. And maybe one of them will ride next year. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But that's the update on the Mongol Derby. How about some horse health? And then we got to talk. We haven't talked in a long time. We have to get caught up on what's happening with your horses. We have to talk a little bit more about what happened at Ada. Got to tell you about that. We have a book reading to do. We have lots of stuff going on yet. But first, we're going to hear from Dr. Jenny Johnson. This is
Just... You're not paying attention. We have to talk about horselovers.com. And I'm really excited because I'm on the website right now.
I saw them
you saw what?
I saw them over the weekend.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, of course you did. Yeah. So they have their deal of the day is 60% off of Tough One items. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. And I looked on it, and it's every possible horse thing you could need, from like clips and brushes and hay bags and helmet covers and fly mask. It is everything you could possibly need. And it looks like everything is over half off. I actually could really find a way to hurt myself excitingly as I can get the Tough One Deluxe Aussie Stock Whip. I want the whip. I want to be Jim Gregg from Man from Snowy River. But I'd probably just hurt myself. They have, there's some ice boots in yourself. Here. Yeah, I know. It would be tremendously terrible.
Okay, I got to go look at the ice boots.
They have these really cool ice boots, Tough One ice boots, $24, $24.99. And then for all of us with little fat ponies that need grazing muzzles, the grazing muzzle is on sale for $24.95.
Oh, can I talk about the one thing 50. On here? That Tough One makes that we have two of in our barn, and this is so horse husband approved, I can't even tell you how much.
What?
The Tough One easy loading hay loops with nets. These are the ones that mount to the wall. It's like a metal frame, and the hay net is attached to it. The metal frame folds up onto the wall, so the hay net is closed, so it's closed at the top. But you unfold it, you put your hay in, the open bag is already open, you close it, and you're done. This is the easiest hay net system I've ever used. Jennifer knows. She'll tell me.
What you use?
I use it. Oh, we use it every day because I will not do hay nets. She knows I will not do hay nets. I will not fill hay nets. I refuse because they just make me so mad. But the easy one loading hay hoops, and by the way, it's easy to install, and the thing really works. $29.99 now. If you don't have them, go get them because they're really good.
Oh, my Gosh, I could get baby Zara little, you know, it's baby Zara. Her fly mask is zebra print. They have that, which is a tough one, fly mask. They have a zebra mesh fly boots. Eek! I need those for her. She can be my little zebra out there. $21 I know. It's like I can have my own zebra. You I just dress one. Her up like one. I'm going to make one. Lead ropes for my favorite, the big giant cotton lead ropes with the clips on them. $7. So head over to horselovers.com and check it out. Oh, they have little Lukey stirrups. I can get little baby stirrups. Oh, they do have that. I see that collapsible.
Yeah, that's
wall
really
hay feeder frame. Really, that's
it's really nice. Really, it does work. I highly recommend it. Horselovers.com. All right, let's do some horse health and we'll be back to chat some more.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report. When our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
All right, so today we'll be talking about grading lamenesses and the quantification of the lameness severity. Okay. Well, as I said, you know, scoring a lameness or giving it a quantification is very important. And it's important that this be a standardized system. And the importance of that is so that veterinarians can confer among themselves as well as owners and trainers can be cognizant of what a given score means. So it should be consistent so that it can be scored either within one horse or between horses so that there's an understanding of what each grade of lameness refers to. Now, ideally, it would be nice if this were consistent on a worldwide basis, but currently in the United States or North America, we use a scale from 0 to 5, whereas in Europe, they use a scale that's 0 to 10. Now, I'm going to go over the lameness grading so that our listeners will have an understanding, and this will be the scoring system that's used in North America. And it's a slight modification of the scoring system guidelines that have been put forth by the American Association of Equine Practitioners. So in this most commonly used scoring system for lameness, the scores or the lameness grades are based on observing the horse at the trot in hand on a straight line on a firm or hard surface. So in this, with these parameters, a lameness score of 0 would mean the horse is sound. A lameness score or lameness grade of 1 would refer to a mild lameness that's observed while the horse is trotted in a straight line. You may see a subtle head nod or a slight pelvic hike in the case of a hind limb lameness, but they may be inconsistent at times. Moving on to a grade 2 lameness, that would refer to an obvious lameness that is observed. There's going to be a consistent head nod or pelvic hike in a horse that's a grade 2 lame. The grade 3 lameness would refer to the horse with a pronounced head nod or pelvic hike. And if the horse has a unilateral singular hind limb lameness, a head and neck nod is seen when the diagonal forelimb strikes the ground. In other words, if the horse was lame on the right hind, you would see a head nod and neck nod on the left front at the time of that striking the ground. Moving on in our scoring system, a grade 4 would refer to a severe lameness with an extreme head nod and a pelvic hike that's present consistently, but the horse could still be trotted. And then finally, our last lameness score would be a grade 5, and that would refer to the horse that does not bear any weight on the lame limb. And if trotted, the horse would carry the limb. Now, of course, horses that are non-weight-bearing at the walk should never be trotted. So those that gives our listeners an idea when they hear of a lameness score, what those scores refer to. Now, there are a few caveats to go with that scoring system. The system really does not account for a horse that has a bilaterally symmetrical gait abnormality. And it can be difficult to apply to a horse that has a lameness in more than one limb. So it's most useful in referring to a horse that has a single limb lameness. And it's also important to recognize that most of the horses, or many of the horses, certainly performance horses that are submitted for evaluation, many of those horses will have a very subtle degree of lameness that may just be reflected as poor performance. And those lameness scores or grades will typically be between 0 and 1. And in some cases, practitioners will also even use a half score. They may say the horse is, you know, half a degree lame out of 5 or 1.5 out of 5. It's just adding another increment of discrimination between those grades of lameness. But it is important for our listeners to have an understanding of that. So when their veterinarian makes a reference to their horse being a grade 2 lame, they'll have an understanding of what that means. And also, it's important to understand that it's the grade 2 would be out of 5 in North America. And so that is sort of the framework that we as veterinarians work in and provides a framework for our listeners to have an understanding of the consistency applied to different severities of lameness. We're going to talk about limb flight and how it can play a role in the understanding of lameness, and also in the role it plays in the generation of lameness, if you will, in the horse. And I'll start by talking generally about some areas of limb flight that are abnormal, and how that can affect a horse's gait and their way of going. Now, obviously, abnormalities of limb flight can cause interference of one limb with another limb. And I'm going to talk about some horses other than just the hunters and jumpers that are primarily our listeners for this show, just to include it for completeness, and also because, as you know, even though something may be typical in one breed of horse or one discipline of equestrian activity, it does not preclude it from happening in other types of horses or in other disciplines. So in this case, one of the types of horses and disciplines where you see interference a lot and from which a great deal of understanding of interference can be gained is in the standard bred world. Trotters and pacers are continually dealing with limbs interfering with one another and how to make adjustments in the horse's equipment as well as in the horse's hoof balance to help minimize that interference. And in any horse, faulty conformation can increase the risk of developing interference. And any gait at speed has an increased likelihood of interference. So you have a greater likelihood of interference at the trot than at the walk, and more at the canter than at the trot. And again, faulty conformation combined with a faster gait is going to lead to even greater incidence or likelihood of interference happening. Now, chronic interference can in itself be a sole reason for lameness or poor performance in the horse. And again, this is commonly noted in standard bred race horses. You'll have a horse that potentially hits its knees or hits one area of the leg, and that can itself be cause for lameness because of the trauma. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about front foot interference. And first I'll talk about the one front foot hitting the other front foot. Horses that toe out tend to wing in their limb flight. And because of that, it predisposes them to interference, one front foot hitting the other front foot. Additionally, a horse that has a base narrow conformation is predisposed to having that forelimb interference. Now, some horses will walk very closely, very narrow, but then will widen out as they increase their speed at the faster gaits, and it is not a problem, but something to watch for. Now, you can also have interference where one hind foot is hitting the other hind foot. This, I think, is probably more common in our hunters and jumpers. You'll see the horse that travels close behind, and they tend to sometimes, you'll see scars or scrapes either on the inside of their pasterns or their fetlocks, and you'll see a lot of horses that have to wear hind ankle boots to protect that area. And that can be a cause of lameness just because of the trauma of hitting the other leg. As you can imagine, that would get quite sore. Those issues can be addressed by shoeing methods sometimes, but again, it's something to look at when you're looking at a horse, just something to take notice of. How closely does the horse travel behind? Is there any indication that there's been any interference? Are there any scars, or is there any thickening of the skin or a loss of hair in the area of the inside of the fetlocks or the pasterns that could give you a little bit of a tip-off to that? Now, you can also have interference with the same limb. This is
probably most common in trotters or gaited horses. And when you have interference with the same limb, what happens is the hoof or shoe hits the elbow of the same side. Now, you can also see this occasionally in jumpers. Certain horses will jump in such a way where they really tuck their knees up and they can actually bang the back of their forearm or their elbows with their shoes. And that, it's very rare, but it certainly can be seen. Probably more common is a horse that may hit their abdomen, thus the popularity of the belly guard girths, which help prevent trauma from the shoes and also from studs that horses may have in their shoes from injuring them when they snap their knees up so significantly. Now, the other type of interference that you could have is front foot hitting the same hind limb. Again, this is, I will bring some examples from the standardbred world because some of the terminology comes from that field, but also these things can be seen in all disciplines of horses. Now, the term for the interference depends where the front foot is hitting the hind limb. Scalping is a term that's used to describe interference where the front foot hits the dorsal aspect of the hind foot, or hits basically near the coronary band on the front of the back foot. Speedy cutting is another terminology, and that's used when the front foot is hitting the front aspect of the back pastern. And then shin hitting is exactly what it sounds like. The front foot is hitting the front of the back cannon bone. And then occasionally you can also have hock hitting, but that would be pretty unlikely. And in pacers, you will sometimes see the front foot hitting the opposite hind limb, but that's usually only in pacers. Now, in hind foot interference, we have what's called forging, and I would imagine that most of our listeners are probably somewhat familiar with forging, and that is when the hind foot is hitting the front foot on the same side. Sometimes you'll hear this. You can hear it, a classic clanking sound, basically, or clicking sound. The hind foot with the shoe will hit the front shoe on the same side. Many times it happens when the horse is a little bit long. They haven't been shod recently. It can lead to problems because the horse may overreach and pull off that front shoe. It doesn't necessarily, the forging in itself doesn't necessarily cause lameness, and it is something that in many cases can be addressed by shoeing changes. But it is something also to take notice of, particularly if you're looking at a new horse or looking at a horse to purchase. I would evaluate that closely, because if it is something that's severe, it could potentially lead to some lameness problems down the road. Or if not lameness, it could lead to management issues down the road in terms of keeping the shoes on and preventing significant trauma to the front feet or the heels of the front feet from that interference from the hind limbs. And so those are some basic ideas about limb flight and interference. And the next area that we'll be talking about will be more specific abnormalities of limb flight in the forelimb and then also in the hind limb that we can go on to talk about. And we can talk about different problems associated with different conformations and different limb flight patterns.
Well, that was Dr. Jenny Johnson, and we hope that you continue to enjoy these horse health segments. You can also find most of them over at Horse Tip Daily. Jennifer kind of cuts them out and puts them over there, and you can search Horse Tip Daily as well. So you can go over there and search for lameness, and it'll bring up all the tips that have been done over the years for lameness. I'm going to give you an easy one, Jamie.
Okay.
What do you call a horse that lives next door?
A neighbor.
Yay, you got one.
I got another one. I figure if I just use the word mane or nay, I can figure it out. Or hey.
In good shape. I'll ask you a hard one the next time. Hey, Riders for Helmets is pleased to announce International Helmet Awareness Day has been announced, and the date is September 17th. 16th and 17th, 2 days this year. It was normally just one day on a Saturday. Now it's Saturday, September 16th and 17th, the beginning of our vacation, actually. And that's going to be the eighth year that Riders for Helmets have organized and done this event. And they're expecting participation from retailers in 16 countries. Now, what that means is that you get a discount on your helmet. It's usually 10 to 20%, depending on the helmet brand and helmet maker. And that was just announced, so I'm glad that we're able to, and we'll be promoting this a little bit more as we go along. And Lindsay White does this. She started this with money out of her own pocket, still has to put money out of her own pocket to do this every year. And when she made the announcement yesterday, there were actually some people that went on there and said, I expected this to be earlier. I had to go buy a helmet. I just went and bought my helmet because I didn't know if you were doing it, and really busting her chops. This is one woman who does this out of the kindness of her heart. So if it takes her a little longer to get it organized one year or not, it's probably because she needs the money to get it done. So,
gosh, I'm so tired of people just being nasty.
I know.
Just be nice.
And I don't understand how much of her life she has put into this and how much work and effort it takes to coordinate hundreds of retailers, the manufacturers. And you know what's amazing to me is, the manufacturers have not always been totally cooperative with this, even though they sell thousands of helmets this weekend, and it puts people in helmets that probably wouldn't have bought one otherwise, but because of the campaign, because of the, you know, the word getting out there, and they get a discount, they go buy one. And if you know, and I know that she's put thousands of people in helmets that wouldn't be in one otherwise, so good on her, and she gets our applause, and we want to thank her for all of her efforts and hard work.
Cheers, Lindsay.
Anyway, and you know what I didn't know was still going on is the Naked Challenge. Do you remember what the Naked Challenge was?
Let me just point out that you put a picture in our show notes. And for those who don't know
who that is,
we're staring at it. Let me finish. So we're staring at an outline of kind of what's going to happen on today's show so we can kind of stay organized. And Glenn usually just completely ignores it and I have to rein him back in.
That's why you're
but
here.
You posted a photo. And so every time I'm scrolling through my show notes, I'm like, what is going on in this photo that you posted?
You remember Dr. Jimenez, who used to come on and has done, you know, emergency and rescue updates for us. And she's the one that goes around the country training people how to rescue horses. She trains fire departments and police departments and everybody. You know, this has been her mission for her entire life. Well, that's
Dr.
Jimenez.
This is a woman people take seriously.
That's right.
Now.
And then she decided to do the Naked Challenge. And I forgot that the Naked Challenge even existed. And that is where you ride your horse completely naked, except you're wearing a helmet. That's the only piece of clothes you're wearing. So there's a Facebook page for the Naked Challenge, and I went to the Facebook page, and let me tell you what, if you want some afternoon entertainment today, not at work, when you get home, go to the Naked Challenge on Facebook, and you'll see that it is still going strong across the world. And this is what Dr. Jimenez said. I'd rather go naked and not wear a than not wear a helmet on my horse by riding my horse nude on a bareback pad. I'm too fat and too old to show more skin in support of this educational campaign, but I think you guys get the point. And we see pictures of her from, like, chest up. Please wear a helmet. Even when I'm trail riding, I do every time, and so does my sweetie. I want him to be out riding with me for the rest of our lives. Not drooling or immobile. The statistics don't lie. Don't lie to yourself. I make it simple. If you want to ride with me, wear a helmet, period. So she was brave enough to do it and post her pictures. So Jamie, we'll expect your Naked Challenge pictures by Friday.
Do you want Equestrian's Got Talent or do you want Naked Challenge? Because you can't have everything.
Well, I know how you sing, so maybe we'll go for the naked pictures. Sorry.
That's not going to happen either. All right, so moving on. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that, and thanks for posting on the show notes. Every time I scroll by, it's a naked lady.
Why does the horse go naked, by the way?
I don't know.
Because the jockey fell off. That was bad. I'm sorry.
That was not very good. You're better than that.
Sorry. I'll try harder.
Not much better, but you're a little better. There is a news story I've been wanting to tell you about. There are, and this is cool, and I almost feel like I need to donate to this. There are funds being raised for a Sergeant Reckless statue at the Kentucky Horse Park. And the guy's name is Ted Bassett, James E. Ted Bassett III. And he went off, it was in a meeting, he's 95 years old. And he's in a meeting at Keeneland, in the offices at Keeneland, to get this statue put at the Kentucky Horse Park. And I guess he was banging on the table. He's like, why am I involved? because she wasn't a horse. She was a Marine. Like, imagine 95 year old. You'd be like, okay, yes, sir. So his passion is to get a statue of her at the Kentucky Horse Park. The cost of the statue and landscaping is $250,000. So he is working exhaustedly to make this happen and to get this horse to get Reckless's statue. I would love to see it. You know, they've got her on marine bases. They've got two statues. So this would kind of be a trifecta of statues. Let's see. I'm trying to see where her statues are. They're the National Museum of the Marine Corps in Quantico.
Right.
And there's one at Camp Pendleton.
Right.
So
they just finished. Remember, we had that lady on.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So this would be the same one. They would just get a third one made. And put it out there at the Kentucky Horse Park. And I would love to visit the Reckless statue. Oh my gosh, that'd be great. But I know I'll never go to Camp Pendleton or Quantico. So I go to the horse park. I think it needs to happen. So if anybody is interested in donating tax deductible donations for Sergeant Reckless statue, you can find it Sergeant Reckless Memorial Fund, P.O. Box 1125, Moore Park, California 93020. And if you missed that, you can go on to Blood Horse. They've got an article about it.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Hey, Jamie, you're riding your horse full speed. There's a giraffe right beside you and a lion nipping at your heels. What do you do?
Oh my God! Unplug it!
Yep, you get off the carousel and sober up. That's right.
They call Leslie Wiley.
That's right.
Right? Not that she'd be much help. She'd probably lose your saddle.
In the meantime. That's right. Oh, we've already started with the Leslie jokes. Is it too soon?
But she's not even done yet. I should have waited.
Sorry. Yeah, that maybe till she had gotten home at least.
She is going to have more fun with this than anybody. I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
I can't wait to read the articles, too. There's going to be some great articles.
Hey, real quick, before we get to our next segment, I have an really interesting article. Did you want to play a song?
No, let's just keep going.
Okay, so there's a the Chronicle of the Horse did an article, and this really caught my eye because it is something my students have actually done. And there are companies out there, the girls that have social media accounts, say like an Instagram feed, and they have 700, 800, 10,000, whatever, however many followers they have. There are companies now going to these girls or boys and saying, hey, we notice you have big Instagram. We would like to give you this product and you just wear it in your Instagram pictures. And so one of the girls here was like, yeah, sure. So she got a really nice gel pad and a girth from this company. Huh. And she's supposed to wear it in her Instagram pictures. And this is an article about how that's called remuneration. And it is compensation or payment for any form. It's like they're paying you cash. And you lose your amateur status. You cannot compete as an amateur anymore when that happens. So now that she's got products, I'm sure she doesn't know that she can't compete as an amateur legally anymore.
But aren't amateurs, I mean, aren't all those riders given products?
So here's the thing. They did a Q&A. And says, I'm a brand ambassador for a company that gives me discounts on their product in exchange for promotion of the products on my social media site or with my friends. Am I an amateur?
I'm working right now. You need to go.
It says, no, amateurs are not permitted to receive any form of remuneration in connection with using their association as a horse person to advertise or promote the sale of products. Well, I'm a brand ambassador, but they don't give me products. Am I an amateur? Yes, you're an amateur. I own and operate an equestrian blog and companies send me free products to review and keep. Am I an amateur? No, you're not an amateur because you're not permitted to receive anything free in exchange for reviews. I own and operate on a blog and I buy the products at full price and review and keep them. Yes, you're an amateur. I own a blog where the equestrian companies pay to advertise. Am I an amateur? Yes, amateurs are permitted to own blogs where companies pay to advertise.
I regularly tag equestrian companies in my social media posts, but they don't compensate me. Am I an amateur? Well, yeah, you're still an
amateur.
Let's
go back to the last one. Go back to the last one. Read that one again. That they have a blog and they get paid for advertisements.
So there's two blog ones. There's a I own and operate a blog. Companies send me products to review and I get to keep them.
Right.
And am I an amateur?
That was no.
Nope.
Then the next one.
Nope. And the other one is I own and operate an equestrian blog. I buy products, review them, and then keep them.
Now there was
yes, you're still an amateur.
There was another one though where there
next.
Yeah.
I own a blog where equestrian companies pay to advertise. Am I an amateur? Yes, you're permitted to own your own blog as long as companies are paying to advertise with the blog, but not trading out products.
Well,
for advertising.
I don't see the distinction there between they're paying you cash or they're paying you in product. You can take that cash, turn around and buy their product. I don't see the I don't see the distinction.
That is interesting.
Yeah,
that's that
where
is
I'm
interesting.
Getting stuck. If you're getting paid either way.
Well, there's a difference is that one blog, you're getting paid dollars for their advertising, and the other one, you're getting paid product. It's not two-way.
Yeah, but it both has value, right?
Yeah, but one's an ad and one's a review.
Yeah, but they're the same thing. We do that. We trade for advertising. We trade product for advertising as well sometimes. You know, I don't know.
No, so this is, I own a blog where an equestrian company pays to advertise. Am I an amateur? Yes, because amateurs are permitted to own blogs where companies pay to advertise. I guess they had to go in the rules and figure this out. So they pay to advertise an ad, I guess. I mean, it's, you know, it all comes down to honesty anyway.
Yeah.
Be honest. Like this little girl, nobody's going to know that she got that for free, you know, but somebody could do the research. And I feel like if you cheat, you're going to have bad karma and you're going to get bucked off in your second round of your show jumping round because of karma.
So if a company pays to have their name and logo embroidered on your saddle pad as an advertisement, are you still an amateur?
No, I do know that.
No.
That, then you're a professional. No. Right.
But then it's they're paying to have advertise. See, that's where I have a problem with it. That's an advertisement on your person or in your horse. So I think that's bunk and just nobody can afford to get it to change. Yeah. But then the USEF's opinion of what an amateur is and what the IOC's opinion of what an amateur is are two completely different animals. So it gets really confusing for everybody.
Yeah, and that's come up in the news here lately too about the whole amateur professional status thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
May I teach lessons and donate the money to charity and keep my amateur status? If you receive remuneration for your teaching,
yeah,
you are not an amateur. So even if you donate your earnings, you are not an amateur because you get paid to teach.
See, this is one I want to stop you there too. This is one I have a problem with. And I know there's a line here, and I know that you could argue both of these in court. But if you're out there if you're not wealthy, and this comes back to the whole article a couple of weeks ago. If you're not wealthy and don't have wealthy parents, and you need to pay your way, like Jennifer's a perfect example of that. She had to teach lessons to be able to afford to go to shows. You're a perfect example of that. Technically, even though you have another job, you're a professional, period. Because you teach lessons, even though you could not make a living from the lessons that you teach.
It doesn't matter. I have had to show as a professional since I was 19 years old.
But I'm not sure that's right. You teach four or five lessons just to make some money. You're not a professional.
In the law, the way that it is worded, if you receive payment for teaching or any of these other kind of gray area type things, you cannot show as an amateur. I cannot. And there was a woman that is big in the hunter jumper world as an amateur. And she worked at the barn that I rode at, but she was a groom basically, and she could not get paid to ride the horses. So when she would ride the horses, she had to go off the clock and then she would go back on the clock for every other part of the whole thing. So she could, and that's,
That was exhausting.
I think that's limiting what people, well, you know, again, we're coming back to then we're back to people with money or who have parents with money that can afford to do it as an amateur. That's the only ones because you can't make money or you're working another job, obviously. I don't know. I have a problem with that one.
I am an intermediate level rider who just earned a sponsorship from a local tax store. Jennifer, this is what you were just talking about. May I keep my amateur status? No, amateurs are not permitted to have sponsors. So there you go. That's the answer. You can't have a saddle pad embroidered on it because you can't have a sponsor. Although if they paid for the saddle pad to be embroidered and you just wore it without getting compensation.
Well, that's what I mean. They bought the saddle pad.
Aren't we wearing clothing with logos all over it all the time?
Yeah, but they're professional.
If you're an amateur. Not if you're an amateur. So, Jennifer, no, if they give you the saddle pad, you are not an amateur. You can buy the saddle pad and they can pay to have it embroidered with their logo and give it back. See, that's the whole point is like what they're trying to tell you is
you
are not allowed to receive anything for free. Anything to get paid, anything like that at all. And that's where it's funny because there's so much gray area with like Instagram feeds and companies are finding these girls and sending them stuff. I mean, two of my students have been contacted on their pages. One of them, I was like, do not do this because they were like, hey, if you give us money, we'll give you a discount on this product. I was like, no, they're just selling products to girls, basically. And it was like really expensive product. She's like, I can be an ambassador. I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah. No.
You popped her bubble.
Oh, totally. But I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm always looking for a scam. You know, the people call me. I don't recognize the number. I'm like, what do you want? Like I was calling about riding lessons. I'm like, oh, hi. I do, by the way, I did get a new student and I just had to tell you about her because I said this to Chad and he thought it was hilarious. And so she comes out last night to see the farm and she was like, oh yeah, I used to ride. I was like, oh yes, I heard about you. You're the recovering Western pleasure rider who wants to event. she's a recovering Western pleasure rider. She's like, I've always wanted to jump like and do cross country and stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, no, you've come to the right place.
That's right. And our horses don't have to touch the ground. I just say
exactly. Exactly. Hey, but anyway, I thought that was an interesting article on the Chronicle, and I can post a link to that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
I'm not sure I agree with all of those, and I do think that has to be revisited in light of everything that's being talked about today, but it won't be. Which side of a horse has more hair?
The outside.
Yay! You got it.
Is that a joke?
Yeah, the outside. That's a joke.
What side? The inside? What?
Yeah, as opposed to the left or right.
I didn't
get it. Yes. All right. We have time for this. We never got the study show. Let's see how you're on a roll here. So let's see if you can finish these. We never did study show in July. I still have them hanging around. So I thought I'd share because a couple of these are fun. And the last one involves Atlanta. So there we go. All right. So what we do every month is we take a look. I just go on Google and I search for study show and we see what we're all wasting our money on. Most of these are government funded studies that we already know the answer to. And Jamie and Jennifer are going to guess the answers. Studies show your pet may
not like you.
Jennifer?
Look just like you.
Well, okay, that's a good one too. Studies show your pet may improve your health. Again, we already knew that. We're horse owners and dog owners. Studies show drinking more coffee is associated with
being able to do this radio show in the morning.
This is another good one and absolutely correct. Jennifer would agree with that one. Studies show drinking more coffee is associated with a longer life. Now, I swear that we had a study about 2 months ago that said a shorter life. The coffee thing goes up and down, depending on which study. It's going to kill you. Yep. It's going to save you. One or the other. Studies show interrupted sleep may lead to
psychopathic behavior.
Perfect. We'll go with that one. Actually, it was Alzheimer's. So there we go. Which means that you're doomed because you don't get any sleep.
I am screwed.
You're going to have Alzheimer's by the time you're 40. Our studies show top performers risk being undermined by...
I mean, if I was going to give a serious answer, probably the people that work for them.
Exactly. Peers. That's right. Do we need a study to know that your coworkers are going to undermine you? If anybody's ever had a job at a corporation, you already know that.
Yes.
Studies show that weed is far safer than...
crack.
Cigarettes.
Alcohol is the answer. But then I just saw a study that showed there's no concrete studies that show weed does anything for pain. So there you go.
Okay, so here's the deal. That study, weed is better for you than alcohol, paid for by Marijuana Growers Association.
In Colorado. Yeah, exactly. Studies show, we're on the weed subject here. Studies show marijuana use during teen years can affect...
my God, my weight. Wait, no,
for personal your experience weight. There, Jamie? Yeah.
Somebody else's weight. God, see, this is the problem with this, is I say what comes to my mind first, and then I get myself in trouble.
Actually, it was brain function, which, again, we didn't need a study for. Studies show, yes, you can buy happiness if you spend money to...
get a horse! Hello?
Yeah, that should have been the answer. It was save time, but I think get a horse was a better answer. Studies show that being part of an intense fan community... this is perfect for us, by the way. Auditors, this one is for you. Studies show that being part of an intense fan community affects your health in...
a very healthy and positive way.
Actually, that's right. It's in a good way.
Oh, so, really? Because I was a member of the YouTube fan club, and I was a member of Keith Urban fan club, and the Keith Urban people are a little crazy. Like, I was like, okay, I'm not, no, I don't need to know the name brand of the shoes he wore last night on stage in Topeka, Kansas. I really don't.
Well, if you want to be part of a healthy community, and if you want to feel better about yourself, become an auditor.
It's true.
Yeah.
They make me feel better about myself sometimes.
Studies show how cell phones can affect your...
Well, if it's a pointless social life, you can keep in contact with everybody.
Studies show how cell phones can affect your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the obvious answer. I wanted exactly. to go not obvious.
And we have time for one more. Studies show Atlanta is not the worst city for...
did you say Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Okay. Atlanta is not the worst for... say it again. I got to get this
studies
right.
Show Atlanta is not the worst city for...
professional sports. My God.
Are you sure about that, by the way?
Well, you've got the Hawks, who are just absolutely terrible. So NBA basketball, gang violence, crime downtown. When you're trying to watch a Braves game and your freaking convertible Toyota, somebody knifes the top of it and then tries to rip out your face-off stereo, because I had a face-off radio at the time, and they totally jacked up my radio, couldn't get the face off. So you know what they did? They were like, oh, I'll figure this out. And they took off my steering wheel with a crowbar, the front of it. And then the horn starts honking. So they just basically bashed the car after cutting the top.
This study show bringing back some stuff, isn't it?
They did find my brother's golf clubs that were in the trunk. So they took those.
God, oh, wait. I'm sorry.
Where was I?
So many bad memories today. Actually, and this is, tell everybody what you did for most of your radio career in Atlanta.
Traffic.
You did traffic. And studies show Atlanta is not the worst city for drivers. And I beg to differ with that. I have driven through Atlanta many times, and it's been a pain in the ass.
I think it would be beat only by Los Angeles now, because I'm closer to that, and oh, God, that's hell.
So it's not the worst city. It's the second worst city for drivers.
Is it really? Is that what it says?
No, I didn't read the study, so I don't know where it ranked. Because I
need more information, Glenn.
I'm sorry. Your answer was better, and I did. I'm really sorry that you had your car jacked like that.
Oh my gosh.
We brought up all kinds of bad memories for you today, haven't we?
It's okay. It was a long time ago, and
all right, take a deep breath.
I'm okay now.
Get
I'm past
out. Take a deep breath. I'll give you a minute to chill out here while I remind everybody that they need to get their really bad ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for this Friday. Yes, we're back this Friday with really bad ads. We'll have some new prizes we're announcing this week too. And I will give everybody a hint. We just went to Ada. So longtime listeners know what that means. So you Good can stuff. Expect that to be one of the prizes this week. Also, we get your talent entries in. And while we were talking here today, one or two more sent those in. And yes, I would love to see a group entry or two. So get the people at your barn together and do something fun. We also haven't had a lot of animals participating. We've had a couple. So get your animals involved. And remember that the listeners are voting on these. We're not voting on the winner. The listeners are voting on the winner. So
is this like one episode or is it one
it's gonna be
each episode?
Two episodes that we can put all these together. Unless I get a whole lot of entries between now and Friday, and then it might be three episodes. We'll see. So we'll hope that you get all of those in, and then we'll do some voting, and we'll see who the most talented equestrian is. And by the way, I've been asked what the prize is. It will be a trophy with one of the actual mics mounted on top from the Horse Radio Network. So you will have a trophy that declares you the 2017 Equestrians Have Talent Champion.
Now, is that going to affect my amateur status, Glenn?
Well, it's an award, and you win trophies as an award, so probably yes. You're now be a professional.
I'm accepting your remuneration for
so
my talent.
We are reading the book, and we didn't miss last week. We did chapter two last week, and we have chapter three for you this week. But I have this to play before Jamie gets started, and we're going to play the show out with the chapter three of the book. So thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And Jamie's getting her voice warmed up.
La, 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 la.
Okay, very good. We'll see you all tomorrow for the NATRC, and Jamie is back on Friday for some really bad ads.
Well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to read this book.
The Opium Equation is the first of the Cat Enright mystery series written by Lisa Wysocki. It features Cat Enright, a Tennessee Appaloosa horse trainer, Darcy Whitcomb, teenager with a trust fund, Bubba Henley, a budding juvenile delinquent, and John Gardner, a mysterious barn manager. And of course, there's Sally Blue. Thank you to the publisher Cool Titles for allowing us to read this book. If you want to read ahead, all four books in the series are available in stores and online everywhere or at lisawysocki.com.
Chapter 3. This would be a good time to mention that most of my business involves the training of Appaloosa show horses. Walk, trot, and canter along the rail, nice and pretty, both Western and English pleasure. I've always loved the distinctive spotted breed and was thrilled when I was able to assist a now rival trainer when I was in college. 7 years later, I am even more enthusiastic about the versatile, intelligent, gentle horses, so much so that I can't imagine doing anything else. In addition to the training, I give a few lessons to promising students, especially during the off season, and February is about as off as you can get. This morning's class consisted of four students who were thinking about competing in the show ring. That was three more than I usually handle in a lesson, but they all had the same goal, so I took them on, hoping they would learn as much from one another as they did from me. For the most part, I was right. Carol Carson was the first to come through the door. My neighbor to the immediate west, Carol, was the wife of the very hot, very hunky country music star, Keith Carson. They had a slew of young kids, a few of whom I gave lessons to in the odd day when I was home in the summer. Did I mention that her husband was gorgeous? Carol was a good rider, but I guess that her enthusiasm came more from wanting to establish an identity of her own away from her famous husband and ever-growing brood than from a true love of horses or competition. Tall and fashionably thin, with loose, dark auburn curls cascading down her elegant back, Carol fit in with the other students more easily than I've ever dreamed. There was no star trip from her, but that may have been because one of the other students was a very retired, very theatrical film star. Glenda Dupree had to be well into her middle 60s, although she insisted she wasn't a day over 58. But I'd peeked some of her early film credits, so I knew better. She had come into her own at the tail end of the glamour girl era, and she'd played diva to the hilt on silver screen for many years. Off screen, well, you'll see. Tall and curvy, Glenda's aging hourglass figure was holding up remarkably well, assisted by, I'm sure, at least one Hollywood plastic surgeon and a stem cell facelift or two. She had been born in Nashville, gone to Hollywood while still a teen, made her mark and her millions, and retired here several years back. She wasn't a recluse, but was adamant that the film star era of her life was finished. Like Cary Grant, she had opted out while she still photographed well. Glenda owned the farm just east of mine, so she had the pleasure of being sandwiched between Hill Henley and me. Lucky her. Actually, her home, Fairbanks, had been the original residence of the Henley plantation. Hill had left the towering two-story antebellum mansion, complete with lofty white columns, slide into a horrible state of disrepair. Glenda purchased the house just months before I moved in, but it was several years before the extensive renovation on Fairbanks were completed, and I had a genuine former movie star living next to me. Today, an enormous cobalt blue scarf hid Glenda's shoulder-length, fashionably streaked blonde hair. The scarf also hid most of her face. I knew, though, from her runway model strut, her designer jeans, and her theatrical gestures as she entered the barn office. Saying that Glenda Dupree was a pain in the ass to work with is like saying Hannibal Lecter was a little bit dangerous. But if Glenda ever learned to ride, she'd be great in the show ring. My third student, Robert Griggs, was a hard one to figure. By profession, he was a nurse. By personality, he was an absolute stick in the mud. After a few lessons, I got the feeling there was a sensitive side to him, but I couldn't quite find it. Everything from the way he moved to the words he spoke was controlled and devoid of emotion. He even combed the long bangs of his salt and pepper hair forward, almost to his eyebrows, as if forming a barrier to keep intruders out of his mind. After our first meeting, Robert told me that a former girlfriend had gotten him involved with Morgan horses, but as he was no longer seeing the girl, he no longer wanted to ride Morgans. I wondered if the ex was the source of his suffering. But in spite of the lack of personality that surrounded Robert, I liked him. His rare smiles were charming, and you could tell he had a real rapport with the horses. He not only liked them, he loved them. I hope he had the same relationship with his parents. My last student, Darcy Whitcomb, was, as usual, late, and as usual, I decided not to wait for her. We had been working the past few weeks on how attitude affects performance in the show ring, and at the last lesson had videotaped a mock competition. I had spent much of the previous evening reviewing the tape I had typed, and I had typed what I hoped were constructive critiques for each student. With a bright look, I passed out my summaries. Hank assisted by wagging his tail. The relaxed mood of my three pupils tightened perceptibly as they read my remarks. They finished reading within seconds of each other and turned to me as one, their faces registering emotions that varied from indifference to anger to absolute surprise. "Now, I understand that some of you may not agree with my comments," I said. Glenda muttered something unprintable. "But you all signed up for this class for a reason," I continued. "You want to excel in the show ring, and I intend for you to do just that." This time, Glenda sent a frightful look in my direction. Apparently, what she was looking for was affirmation of her already perfect talents. "If I only mentioned areas where you already excelled," I went on, "and I didn't offer comments on specific areas where you needed to improve, I wouldn't be doing my job. You're all here to gain insight into the show ring, not to receive senseless adulation." The last part I directed in Glenda's direction. Glenda frowned, her collagen-injected lower lip swelling into a familiar pout. Actually, her showmanship in the ring was superb, instinctive, the obvious result of many years in front of a camera. But the mechanics of her horsemanship left a lot to be desired, and I told her so in my critique. By far, Carol had turned in the best performance, entering the ring quietly with her chin up, heels down, and shoulders back. She turned her head slightly and given the camera an "I'm going to knock your socks off" stare, and had me won over before the competition even began. I turned on the small TV-DVD combo we kept in the barn and asked my class to watch the tape with emphasis on Carol's ride. My students watched with the same expressions of indifference, anger, and surprise. By the time the tape ended, Glenda's anger had turned into a smirk. You know Mary Catherine, she said, using my full name, even though, or maybe because she knew I hated it, I do treasure your wee efforts to educate us. Glenda lounged in the one good chair in the room, her jacket unzipped, her scarf and kid leather gloves on my desk. Now that her warm outer clothes had been removed, I saw that her face was immaculately Botoxed and made up as ever. Never one to be underdressed, she wore an exquisite cable knit sweater that looked like it had recently hung on one of the upscale shops in Belmead. Her jeans hugged her curvy hips to perfection. My wee efforts, I repeated. Yes, wee. It's a good word for you, don't you think? She said, considering your Irish heritage and all. Too bad I can't take them seriously. Your efforts, I mean. Somewhere along the line, I'd forgotten that Glenda was a first class bitch. Why in the world had I let her in this class? I'd known her for years. I knew she always had to be the center of attention. And when Glenda was around, nobody else could be recognized for any accomplishment, no matter how insignificant. I knew better, but I let it happen because she'd pestered me so. Glenda, it seemed, always got what Glenda wanted. I've been talking with another trainer, she continued, nodding at the others. And this other, well, other trainer thinks I'm ready to compete in shows right now. She stopped drinking in the astonished looks of her classmates. They were as aware of her lack of riding ability as I was. In fact, she added, I've already made plans to compete in several small shows next month. Embarrassed, celebratory mumbling held her announcement, but Glenda was oblivious to the uncomfortable feelings of those around her. She shot a dramatic and superior look around the room, then continued, you all know how excited I've been about the possibility of competing in real horse shows. I just decided I couldn't stand another day of these tedious drills and silly exercises we all do, she said with a wave of her hand. So I talked to this other trainer, and well, we had some fabulous ideas, and here I am, ready to go. So Glenda had trekked through the cold and ice just to make her big announcement, her very own mini press conference without the press. She couldn't have called me on the phone or even dropped by privately to discuss this. Not once had she indicated she was unhappy with her progress or that she wanted to hurry into the show ring. Not that she was anywhere near ready, no matter what the other trainer had told her. We all jumped as the office door banged and a colorful whirlwind of wet mittens and boots burst into the room. My tardy fourth student was once again making an entrance. Darcy Whitcomb was 17 going on 40. The only child of Mason Whitcomb, a primary.com entrepreneur, Darcy was, to put it mildly, a spoiled brat. I know, because she'd been in training with me since she was 13. Since our first meeting 4 years ago, Daddy Mason had divorced exotic Asian wife number two and was now engaged to number three, a 22-year-old party girl he'd met on a boat off Myrtle Beach. Darcy's mother, wife number one, had long been jet-setting Europe. No one knew when or where she'd turn up or which duke, prince, or count she'd have in tow. In spite of all the parental marrying and divorcing and spoiling, Darcy was a good kid, and I had a feeling she'd turn out okay. Of the four, Darcy was the only one with show ring experience. Until 18 months ago, she'd been one of the top youth competitors in the nation, but she lacked the ambition and the drive to be successful on a regular basis. She stayed out of competition all last season and spent the summer being a regular teenager. Regular teenage life apparently wasn't all it was cracked up to be, and Darcy decided to take this class to see if she was ready to come back and give it a better shot. Secretly, I thought she came back because there was no other place for her to go where people understood her. Either way, she was a good addition because she willingly lent her wealth of experience to the others in the class. Darcy shook her thick, waist-length blonde hair out of a Santa stocking cap, turned her huge blue eyes towards me and said, what's up? The room couldn't have been any quieter if the Pope had walked through the door. I was just telling the others, Glenda finally said, that I've decided to switch to a new trainer, Hill Henley. My first reaction to the name of the trainer was to collapse into the scarred wooden desk I was leaning against. The shock was as real as if someone had punched me in the stomach. But the full impact of the Hill Henley whirled through my brain. A comforting thought popped in. The two deserved each other. Hill is just full of wonder advice, which naturally I'm all ears for. It's been a while since I've had any good advice, she said. Glenda was in the middle of quite a performance, and by now she knew she owned the small audience. Of course, Hill is a fourth generation walking horse trainer, and this business of training horses is in his blood. He grew up around it. His ancestors even saved the area during the War of Northern Aggression. Did any of you know that? Glenda's look was condescending. No, of course you didn't. How silly of me. It was all I could do not to throttle her right then and there. Have I mentioned I have a small anger management problem? Nothing serious, really, but it does pop up from time to time. Recognizing I was on the verge of losing my temper, I instead bit my tongue, which would prove to be a life-saving gesture. Well, my life anyway. I, as did the others in the room with the possible exception of Robert Griggs, knew all about the Henleys. Furthermore, we all knew how much more, we know much more than she about the highway robbery and horse thievery that permeated the Henley ancestral tree. Not that I planned on filling Glenda in on the gory details. I'd let her find that out for herself. Hill says I'm going to become the next champion rider of the year, Glenda announced with a grand sweep of her arm. Carol looked up from the melting globs of ice she'd been intently inspecting on the floor. Her face only partially contained a smile. Robert looked blankly around the room. Like the rest of us, I imagine he wished he were somewhere else. Darcy, ever loyal, looked ready to pounce. I am also going to tell everyone who helped me get to the winner's circle, and I'm going to tell everyone who didn't. I knew very well that it was ridiculous. Hill Henley could never make Glenda Dupree champion of anything, not in his wildest dreams. But if you throw money around right and left, it will only get you so far in the show ring. Eventually, though, you have to actually stay on the horse. But like it or not, Glenda was a famous film star. Excuse me, former film star. Either way, people would believe what she had to say, at least at first. I didn't believe she could do me much damage as far as prospective clients go, due to the very different build and use of each breed. Appaloosa people and walking horse people don't mix that often. It was like the difference between a dentist and a podiatrist. Both were doctors, but very different ends of the spectrum. We did use many of the same veterinarians, feed suppliers, and other vendors, however, and I realized it was a situation that would have to be handled carefully. For the first time since she exploded through the door, Darcy moved. Crossing the tiny office to stand directly over Glenda, she looked down at her. Like that idiot next door could teach you anything. Get real, said Darcy with all the sarcasm her 17 years could muster. Glenda gave Darcy a bemused look. It was clear that Glenda thought Darcy's intelligence was somewhere in the neighborhood of owl poop. Honey, she said, sarcasm dripping all over the word. Why don't you go play with your girlfriends or whatever it is you do? You'd be much happier if you stick to your own kind and stay out of important businesses that can't possibly concern you. Then she laughed and flung her hand in a cruel, dismissive gesture. Robert tensed, and I thought for a moment that this was the time he was going to let out all those pent-up emotions. His face was snow white. His already thin lips were bloodless. He opened his mouth several times, but when he realized nothing was going to come up, he grabbed his coat and hurried from the room. You bitch, spat Darcy. I used to think you were cool. I admired you, but you're totally fake. I hope you die a thousand deaths. Darcy had a good thing going, but then emotion welled up in her eyes and she too stormed out. Never one to enjoy an argument, Hank quickly followed. And through the open door, I saw John frowning at us. I shook my head and he shrugged back, letting me handle it. All but one of the other members of the class had already run out the door. Glenda could see that if she didn't leave soon, there would be no one left to witness her grand exit. So she dramatically gathered her things and swept herself from the room. Maybe if I'd have known that was the last time I'd see her alive, I would have gone after her. Then again, maybe not.